The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CityStays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
And a very good afternoon. Very welcome to the first edition of the Solid Foundations Property Podcast for 2026. It's been another fantastic year in 2025. We did do our big review, but we're starting off afresh. 2026 is another brand new year. Lisa, and I suppose you're welcome back yourself. Happy, can we say Happy New Year? But anyway, we're going to say it. Happy New Year to you, Lisa. How are you?
Good. It's a bit too late for that now, Padraig. Happy New Year. We're at the end of January. What are we talking about, eh? No, thanks everyone for joining us again. New Year, and we've got a great few guests lined up actually already, haven't we, Padraig? We've been very lucky with the guests that we've got coming on in the next couple of weeks.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CityStays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
Yeah, we've been trolling the country, we should say, Ireland, England, and the UK, and Northern Ireland as well. So with some amazing guests, and thanks to everyone who came onto the programme last year. And we've got some amazing guests to look forward to, as you indicated, Lisa. But we always start out where you mean to go on, as they say, Lisa, you know. So this year, of course, in the Irish property market, we are going to reflect on that very shortly indeed. But Lisa, have you done anything over January except not keep your the old New Year's resolutions? No doubt they've been packed in already, have they?
Yeah, no, all good. So I have engaged an engineer. I'm going for planning permission on a unit that I'm going to hopefully get 8 apartments out of. So he started to draft up the plans for that. So hopefully we'll have them submitted by next, I'd say probably by the jigs and the reels, it's probably going to be the end of February, I'd say. So yeah, we've got that going on. CityStays continues to grow. We had a slow start actually to January, and we had a bit of an occupancy and a bit of vacancy, but now it's starting to pick up in the last couple of days, so that's really good. And what else do we have going on? We have there's actually something in the pipeline. I can't actually say it at the moment. Be looking forward to divulging the information if it all goes to plan. But there's something really exciting in the background then going on as well. And how about yourself, Warwick?
And is that in CityStays or is that in something else, is it?
I'm going to be a bit cryptic at the moment, but yes, I'll let you know this information. Yes, CityStays, yeah. So,
All right, okay.
So it's all good.
That's very good. No bother to you, Lisa, you're flying it. Yeah, I suppose similar to yourself, we've got 4 apartments. Finally getting the roof. We've actually got scaffolding. I was up last Saturday morning, driving around a few of the sites at God knows what hour, but just before all the football and everything starts, I like to get up and get that done. So yeah, we've got scaffolding up on 4 apartments, so we're just starting to get the re-roofing part of it done. It's a listed building, so it has loads of fun for us, you know, that things that you don't see. Need to do a program about that. Things you don't see in a property. Yeah, people wouldn't believe. But yeah, that's going. Slap on the wrist. I was hoping to have a 3-bed finished before Christmas. It's dwindled into January. And yeah, it's great fun. But we've started another one, which is taking good good strides. So, you know, that should be done before the end of March. So look, there is a lot of different things, let's just say, that we're looking at and we're trying to develop as well. So really looking forward to the year. As I say, it's an exciting year to look forward to. And no doubt in the Irish market, there's a lot of exciting, challenging aspects coming down the line, Lisa, as you well know. But delighted to say we're joined by a lady called Sarah Cronin. And Sarah, you're very welcome to the Solid Foundations Property Podcast. Sarah, of course, is going to reflect or help us out to make more sense of this short-term and tourist bill that's coming, that's pending in 2026. Now, I'm from Donegal, and I know the a lot of the market is going to be very, very dramatically hit if this bill, when this bill comes through. So, Sarah, we're so delighted to have you on. Also, you're working as part of Cronin Knocking Auctioneers and Letting Agents in the spare time. So, but you've been working extensively. You've been speaking to the Dáil about this as well, and you know. It is, I suppose, from my limited knowledge, just by looking at it, it's going to affect rural communities that rely, you know, running a B&B or, you know, whatever short-term accommodation. But as I say, you're the expert. And what is this all about and how can we navigate it? That's probably the first question. And then I've no doubt Lisa's going to have about 15 questions for you as well. So she'll give you a good grill there, Lisa.
Well, first of all, thanks very much.
Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks very much for having me on. Look, things can only get better from here if I'm your first guest at the start of the year. So, yeah, I mean, the short-term and tourist letting bill, it's had a couple of different iterations over the last few years. The draft legislation originally came out, I'm going to say, 3 to 2022. And it was reviewed. There was a lot of consternation amongst short-term letting hosts across the country. We began a very grassroots campaign, really, to educate our legislators in terms of the impact that it's going to have, not just on tourism, but on the wider offering that short-term lets bring to the housing market. You know, you need flexibility in a market. EU... Oh, sorry, Lisa.
So, sorry. So just to tell, I guess, so just give a bit of background, Sarah, about what you do. So you used to run a load of short-term lets, wasn't it?
My first job in property was managing holiday homes down in Dingle. Started with the keys for one house and a done deal ad. And over a couple of years, it grew to a lovely business. And I had great fun for 10 years in Dingle cleaning houses. It was a ball.
Tough gig there, Dingle, you know, in the summertime.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you learn everything about people and all you want to know about property. I could write the book on things you haven't seen in properties. things you don't want to see.
So you ran these properties there in Dingle. And back when you first started this, was Airbnb out? And was you just taking bookings off of Airbnb? And was there any regulations when you first started?
When I started, there was no regulation and Airbnb was only a tiny idea, a nugget of an idea. So a lot of the bookings came through your old-fashioned print media, your done deal, direct websites. And I think Airbnb was the catalyst that changed the market. It made it simple for people to present their properties to the market. It's not the only booking platform, but it became a victim of its own success. It's the catch-all term now for an industry that I suppose existed a long time before Airbnb came along, but Airbnb just made it easier for people to manage it. The legislation, we knew that there was talks of legislation coming. And obviously with the introduction of rent pressure zones, that tied into more in particular the cities where people were suddenly going, oh, I might have an issue. I mightn't actually be able to run a short-term letting in the middle of Dublin or in the middle of Galway or Limerick. The pinch points, we know they've always been pinch points. But I suppose when the legislation, the Housing for All policy back in 2021 was a big driver for this legislation. And it became very convenient soundbite. We need to crack down on Airbnbs, this illegal letting. And we kind of, I suppose, the one-off short-term letting hosts kind of felt very victimized really by that because it put us in a very negative light and it wasn't allowing us to showcase what we're actually offering. There was a lot of consternation, a lot of campaigning, submissions back to the EU. The EU then actually looked at the draft legislation, the first round of this legislation, and put a 9-month pause on it to examine it from various different aspects, GDPR, trade barriers, all that other fun stuff that comes with EU legislation. So this go round, basically what it means, I should explain what this new legislation is. Essentially, it means that every single short-term rental property in Ireland needs to have a registration number, which on the face of it sounds very simple. You log on to a portal that will be run by Fulge Ireland. You fill in your details, and at the end, you're given a registration number. Without that registration number, you cannot advertise your property. And again, on the face of it, it sounds very simple. And if that system came in just like that, we would meet our EU legislative requirements and we could all continue. What the Irish government have decided to do is put in a little tick the box in the middle of the registration system that says, are you compliant with planning permission? And therein lies the crux of the problem, because we now have a new planning act coming out. We're waiting on national planning statements, and short-term letting hosts are being asked to be compliant with the system that there's no guidelines for. Local authorities are telling people when they inquire, we don't know, wait, don't apply. People are asking us all the time, what planning permission do you apply for? Is it change of use from residential to commercial? Is it retention of an existing business? Is it retention of an existing premises? There's so many unanswered questions.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CitiesDays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
And Sarah, there's a lot going on, right? So say Forter Island. So we're expecting, so people that are advertising their short-term properties on Airbnb, what we think at the moment is going to happen is that come May this year, 2026,
yes,
everybody's going to be expected to register on this portal that's going to be run by Forter Island. Now, can people jump on now and start registering now? Is there any benefit to it? And does it, would they get a competitive advantage by doing that now?
There is no portal at the minute open. So what Forter Ireland have told us is that the system is built, it's ready to launch, but it has not been launched yet. And the follow-up question that I get from people is, but I'm already registered with Fulge Ireland. No, the current system that Fulge Ireland have in place is a quality assurance system. Think of the old green shamrocks that we used to see on the B&Bs. That's the Fulge Ireland system that people know. This system is completely separate. They are using Fulge Ireland to, I suppose, administer it because it's the National Tourism Board. So it makes sense they already have a body that can run this. But it's completely separate from the current Fulge Ireland quality assurance program that people are familiar with.
And Sarah,
so there's no point in registering with Forter Island then right now. There's no competitive advantage to do that right now.
No.
Right.
As far as we've been told, and I'm not writing the legislation, but from our campaigning and talking to people and the conversations that we're having, no, it does not seem so. No.
And is there unforeseen costs here as well? Because if you mention the word planning, it means that existing providers will have to go and get planning for their existing property. So there's going to be costs. It's going to be huge disincentive. And suppose like people, we're driving tourism all the time to come to Ireland. We don't have the facilities. And anytime that when you look at it from coming to Ireland, it's very, very expensive, you know, just take a family to a hotel or something like that. So, you know, there's a couple of different factors there. So you've got concerns around planning. And as we know, as developers and property investors, planning is a nightmare at the minute. Let's call it out. You know, it's a non-economical aspect when they're looking at planning, because it just doesn't happen at times. You know, it's very, very frustrating. And it probably contributes, I would say, Lisa, to a lot of, developers and investors just not going ahead with things because it's too much of a heartache, like, you know, and cost.
And I think it's the doubt, you know, you're in any aspect of planning, not just for short-term lets, you put in a planning application and it's kind of like you're waiting on tenterhooks. Am I going to get this? You've already fronted the investment, you've already spent the money. And I think add that uncertainty into people who are not familiar with, you know, if you're a one-off short-term rental host, you inherited, I don't know, granny's house up in Mayo, okay? And you're renting it out for the 6 or 8 months of the year that you're not using it. You're using Airbnb, you're familiar with Airbnb, but it's your holiday home. You're just maximizing it. One, it's improving your local economy. It's allowing spend up in, you know, somewhere along the wide Atlantic Way that wouldn't otherwise be there. Two, you're maintaining the property. So all the profits, if there's any at the end of the year, are normally going back into those properties. It's keeping those properties alive. If you turn around to them and say you potentially have a change of use planning application that you have to go through, one, why would they change their property from a residential to commercial? Because it's not, it's their holiday home, and the home, the key is in the word home. And two, they have no idea what that cost would be. Like, does it fall along the same lines as the, we'll say, the euro per square meter as a retention planning application? Is it a regular planning application? How much do you have to pay an engineer? Do you require fire certification because you're going down a commercial route? There's, will the septic tank pass, you know, whatever controls or guidelines that the local authority will have in place? And the other thing is, one local authority can apply the guidelines if and when they come in one way, and another local authority may not. I mean, we've already seen a level of enforcement against short-term lettings where some county councils, some local authorities are saying, we're not touching them, we've no issue with them, drive on, and other ones are sending enforcement letters. So you've inconsistency across the board on top of that. So not only is it the cost, it's the uncertainty.
So then, Sarah, say, for example, there must be Airbnb, or sorry, B&Bs out there that have the planning permission from historical times. Maybe there isn't. What have you looked into what the planning is required for, say, one of those old-fashioned B&Bs that were always B&Bs? Was there fire regs needed? Was there kind of, as you were saying, going through all the, you know, the different change of uses? Do they, what was it like before, say, Airbnb came on board in terms of planning permission?
From a planning permission point of view, actually, that's a good question. I imagine like the purpose-built B&Bs were built with a view to, they had their whatever planning permission was required at the time, we'll say. And I do know if you're a B&B now or a hotel, but B&Bs in particular, you're already on a bed and breakfast register through the Fáilte Ireland system that currently exists. So they're checking. I think it might be maybe more than four rooms. Again, I'd have to look into the, that's a, you've caught me off guard, Lisa. I'll have to look into that. No, that's okay. But I think, I, as far as I know, if it's a pre-existing bed and breakfast, in terms of the planning point of view, like they're existing and they're running. And if it was purpose built, it fit whatever criteria was, you know, applicable at the time. I think where this comes in is, you know, like that the granny flat or somebody who's converted a shed, or they own the house down the road, and it's those one-off ones that were never built as a holiday let. That's where the question comes in.
And then I suppose the other big question as well is the length of stay, Sarah. So what constitutes a short-term stay? Is it 14 nights? Is it 21 nights? Is it, what constitutes a short-term stay?
So currently under planning law, a short-term stay is anything up to and including 14 nights. With this new legislation, a short-term let will be classed as anything up to and including 21 nights. I've had confirmation from Airbnb. I don't know about the other booking platforms, but I've had confirmation from Airbnb that if your minimum stay is set to 30 nights on Airbnb, that you'll be allowed to continue to advertise without the need for this registration number. So obviously they have a system where they'll be able to say, okay, they're using the Airbnb platform, but they don't fall into this current legislation. But yeah, the 14 nights and the 21 nights, again, cause some consternation, because as far as planning is concerned at the minute, up to and including 14 nights is a short-term let, but this new legislation will change that definition to up to and including 21 nights stay.
So will they change the planning rules, will you say, in order to meet the new legislation, or what way would that work? Would that come later on, and which one will take precedence?
That's a very good question, and it's one we raised when we were at the pre-legislative scrutiny meeting in the Oireachtas Committee before Christmas. I have a feeling, now, I'm not writing the legislation, I have a feeling that the National Planning Statement is going to tie it in with the new to up to and including 21 nights, because they're going to rewrite the guidelines or write new guidelines or new frameworks anyway. So I think they're probably going to try and tie that in. Now, obviously, it would be better if it was up to and including 14 nights because you'd have more flexibility depending on where you are. But I have a feeling that they're going to go for the up to and including 21 nights.
Have you done a study on the economic impact that this could actually have within regions that are, you know, I know in Donegal here, there's quite a lot, you know, of Airbnbs and different things in different areas, you know, but they heavily rely on it. So is there any data around that? How's that shaped as well, Sarah?
We haven't commissioned any of our own research, because I will preface this. When I say we, what I'm talking about is a bunch of volunteer kind of community leaders across the country who have gathered together a fairly good vocal group of hosts across the country. We're always looking for more to join in the campaign. But what we have done is, I suppose, you have a lot of anecdotal evidence. I mean, we all know the towns and the villages. Like, you use the Wild Atlantic Way as a perfect example. It's up and running over 10 years. How many millions have been spent on it? We look at the all these new like experiences and opportunities that people have to create employment in their area, everything from stand-up paddleboarding to coffee shops and horse boxes on the sides of roads. I mean, we know what it looks like. We can see it. And I mean, what I have done is I talk to people in different areas. So like, went to a fabulous short-term let there in East Cork a couple of years ago, and he showed me what he's done. It was an old house in the yard, was used as an animal shed for years, converted it. It's now operating on Airbnb. And then he took me down the road to the local crisp factory, because they grow their own potatoes and make their own crisps. And she's going, yeah, 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week, I get guests from his house coming in. And then you go up to the restaurant and she's like, well, I keep a table every Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night for the guys coming from this short-term letting. So like, that's one tiny example. You multiply that across the country and we can see it everywhere. I mean, that's where the impact is going to be felt. We've already seen an impact on our hospitality industry. You mentioned earlier the cost of holidaying in Ireland. So if you remove the spend from all of these one-off little short-term lets across the country, who knows what the impact will be? And on top of that, there are no hotel rooms in a lot of these places. There are no hotel beds. So without short-term lettings, you've places that have traditionally been tourism, you know, offerings for donkey's years, are going to struggle because they don't have the bed capacity in their local hotel or their local B&B to, I suppose, yeah, to offer everybody coming a night stay, you know?
It's a little bit of a kick in the teeth for local providers who, when the incident in Ukraine is currently ongoing, a lot of the hotels snapped up that particular part of the business. The self-catering market was, you know, they picked up and they did a bit, you know, suppose they did a lot better at that particular stage. But now it's I think it's very disingenuous for the government to be trying, where local tourism is the only element that can help them survive. Because I know it here in parts of Gidor and Donegal, we've got you know, beautiful parts of Ireland, that there is no hotels. You are 100% right. And unless there's, you know, something purpose-built in a way, it's not really going to happen, you know. So as I say, one hand the government are looking for tourists, the other hand they're looking for disincentivize small operators. And yes, look, we have to be very cautious. There is a housing crisis in Ireland, but I don't think 20 houses in Donegal is going to really solve that, or, you know, the same in Dingle. You know, these particular short term let's call it. It's more the rural areas you're looking at rather than the cities, as there is an issue in the cities as well. But is that something that you're bringing more to the fore? Is it more rural Ireland rather than city-based Ireland that you're campaigning for?
Well, whatever about, look, my own personal opinion is any housing market needs all sorts of options. You need short-term, medium-term, long-term, you need flexibility. And if you look at our housing market as a whole, because the other hat that I wear is looking at long-term letting and sales, But if you look at our property market as a whole, there's no flexibility. Everything is so rigid with, you know, legislation here, and there's no choice in the market anywhere. So my personal belief is that there should be choice in all aspects of the property market, right? But if you look at short-term lets, and I am very aware, obviously, that there's a housing crisis, right? But I look at places like the pinch points, Dublin, Cork, Galway, Limerick. There's been legislation that has existed since rent pressure zones were implemented first, where if they were enforced upon back then the rogue operators who are buying up the properties and putting them into Airbnb where they probably should be long-term lets could have been dealt with, and they haven't. So I suppose I would question, if you introduce more legislation when you haven't enforced, you know, the legislation where it was needed, how is it going, and how is it going to impact? Like, it could potentially put tourism operators out of business and still not solve the problem that you feel that this legislation would solve. I mean, way back when this legislation was first floated, right, there was one of the first Oireachtas committee meetings on it, and they floated out this idea that 12,000 houses would be returned to the long-term property market, right? This was a figure, and we saw it in the headlines. Now, in that Oireachtas committee meeting, one of the contributors actually admitted this is a back-of-the-envelope calculation because we don't know. We then went out and surveyed the hosts that we're talking with. 89% of them came back and said, we're not going to put those properties on long-term let for a variety of different reasons. They're not suitable. They were never designed for long-term let. There could be no storage. They might only be, you know, they could be fine for 5 months in the summer, but you can't live it in the winter. They could be attached to their own property. I mean, the list is endless. But the fact of the matter is that this figure that people had returning to the long-term market, many of them were never in the long-term letting market in the first place. And second of all, if they're forced to choose, they will leave those properties empty. And that's a no-win situation, because that means no one's spending money in the local economy.
And see, I suppose that the issue then is we've got new legislation coming out in terms of the, you know, the standard RTB leasing market. It's coming out there in March, where there's going to be like no fault evictions, and you've got to rent it out for 6 years, and you can reset the market rent every 6 years. So we've got two sets of legislation that's coming through now. So say, for example, Sarah, somebody who's running maybe has students for the 9 months of the year, and they just want to do short term during the 3 months of the year. Do you know if there's going to be any kind of concessions given for those type of properties? Do they have to be specifically, you know, given the student badge in order to be able to do this? Do you know? Or is it going to be a case of, look, just put it on Airbnb, see, can we get away with it? Because we obviously don't want to rent it out long term because we like doing students for the 9 months of the year.
Yeah, and it's one of the questions that we've raised. We sent a litany of questions, and we've sent them to multiple politicians and that. And it's, again, it's something that we've asked for clarification on, because I suppose, look, the beauty of short-term letting is that it gives people flexibility with what to do with their own property, right? They might dip into it for a year here. They might close it off for next year, might be open for 6 months or not. That flexibility needs to be reflected in whatever way the legislation is implemented. And I think having it's so stringent means that people won't use those opportunities because they're worried or they're nervous, or they're going to go, you know, try and find ways around it. And that's not what you want either. You want things above board. You want to be able to operate freely, knowing I'm offering a good product. This is what I'm offering, and I need to be able to continue. So I think at the minute we're asking for.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CitySDays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
All sorts of, I suppose, in a way, all sorts of concessions to be considered. But what we're really doing is asking them to consider different scenarios within this market that they could, you know, legislators like to put things in boxes. The beauty of short-term lettings is we don't fit in boxes. There's tree houses and yurts and double-decker buses and, you know, and granny flats. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well.
Yeah. And I suppose then are we expecting this to come across all of Ireland, or are we are we hoping that it's only going to be in, say, towns of less than X amount of people? Or do we have any kind of guidance on that? Or are we literally just waiting to see what comes out in May?
We have had that floated, the idea that in towns of 10,000 or less, that there will be exemptions given. But because we haven't seen the planning guidelines or the framework that we're operating within, we don't know.
And are you expecting to see this before the legislation comes out in May? Do we have a right to see this? Or like the likes of you who are obviously advocating for the short-term market in general, surely you should get to see a draft of it and then you should be able to give your feedback for it. Is that a given? Are you expecting that?
It's not nothing in politics is a given. I'd love to be able to say that, yes, we'll definitely be able to see it beforehand, but there's no guarantees. I mean, we offered a very simple solution when we've been in the Dáil a couple of times, but at the last Oireachtas committee meeting, like, we have an obligation from the EU to set up this registration system in order to data collect. That's where the EU are driving this from. They want data, they want numbers. So our proposal was separate the registration system from the planning, just take out that tick the box question, let everybody register, let everybody continue. And over the space of a year or two, you can gather that information and you'll see how fluid or how, you know, you'll have a clearer picture of what the market looks like. After that, you can then draft appropriate planning legislation that would suit and not have a detrimental effect on tourism. Whether or not they're listening to us, I don't know. I do know our colleague in the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. I know he was asking for something similar, like a 9-month, bring in the registration and just let everybody continue for another 9 months. But I think what we do need in the very near term is an element of certainty, because right now my phone rings every day with a host going, Sarah, will I just close for bookings? Will I take down the listing? What happens to my bookings that I've taken for after May? The level of uncertainty is incredible. And I'm already seeing it. I have tourists contacting me going, I can't get a place to stay. Everywhere is booked out. And you're going, they're not booked out. They're pausing their listings because they don't know what's going to happen. So the effects are being felt. And the longer we sit in a vacuum, the more difficult it's going to be.
Do you think it's actually going to go ahead? Because like they floated this last year, was it, and the year before, they kept on delaying. Do you think that this time, this May 2026, it's going to go ahead, or could it also just be again pushed out longer?
That's a hard question to answer. I think because there's an obligation on us from an EU point of view, I think there must be some sort of system in place by the end of 2026 as to whether or not it's what's being floated at the minute. I don't know. As I said, what we're hoping for is to just separate out the planning for a year or two and allow us to continue, allow us to run our businesses, and allow us to get a better picture of what the sector looks like. But will it continue in its current form? I don't know. We're back up in Dublin again. If there's any host across the country who wants to join us, we'll be in Buswell Hotels on the 24th of February. It's a Tuesday. Come along. We're hoping to have politicians there. We need to get our voices heard. People need to contact their local representatives, because otherwise this will go ahead and we'll be operating in a system that none of us can continue in.
Can I ask you a question, Sarah, about the overall business and property at the minute, from your letting agent's hat, your auctioneering hat, and also your short term? Is this the most frustrating time you've ever been in the industry? Not known? Because obviously from you planning ahead, you know, people book holidays, you know, sitting at Christmas time, like Lisa, drinking, maybe one or two wines, you know, one or two, and booking your Christmas and your holiday. You know, you might go back to, I don't know, you might go back to Dingle, or you might go somewhere, you know, now's the time you do it. Obviously, this has to be so frustrating at this time. There's frustrating, but then there's the lack of earnings. So is anyone really taking this serious? If they're, you know, from your point of view, are they taking it serious enough?
We do have there's a couple of, we've built up good relationships with quite a few politicians out there across the country. I'll be honest, the rural TDs, they get it, they understand it, because their communities are going to be affected by it when tourism goes. But I think, like, I've lost my train of thought now. What did you ask me?
No, from you, it's probably the most challenging.
The planning, yes. Like, any business, you need certainty. You need to know if you're going to be able to continue. Like, it's how do you sit down and go, I'm going to invest in this property, or I'm going to paint the walls this year, I'm going to buy a new bed linen this year, if come May you might be able to continue operating. And all of those apply to all of these hosts that we're talking to, you know.
And is there a sense of this is absolutely bonkers, lads? What these are proposing here, it makes no economical sense whatsoever. Let's get is a common sense man floating about, I wonder, because we've got such a situation here, in Ireland. I think there's just zero common sense got into a lot of it when it comes to short-term lettings is one part of it. Lettings is another part of it. Sales is another part of it. Planning is another part of it. It's an absolute shit show, and it seems to be that they'll probably push it on down, but that doesn't help, the short-term people out now, because bookings are made now. People decide their
Yes.
holidays. I don't know, Lisa, is that a fair reflection of the Irish property market at the minute? Excuse my French.
Yeah, you're a bit what's it called? Dramatic there, Paul, right? It's not that
Try
bad.
with that. Try with that.
No, definitely. So it's definitely going to affect a lot of our businesses. The fact is that everything, like, to be honest, I think it's just overregulated. The rental market is overregulated. They're now trying to bring overregulation in for the short-term market. So all this regulation is just stifling the market. And I think that they do have this, that they're saying, obviously, we've got this housing crisis, but we're not going to fix it by bringing maybe 2,000 extra properties that might come from these re short-term regulations. That's not going to fix the market. Something bigger is needed. So I think that the more they try to regulate, the more they are strangling themselves. And yeah, I do fear for this one. I definitely fear for some of the operators, because Sarah, we were chatting before and we were even saying, like, do you know, like some, maybe older ladies whose their job is to clean Airbnbs and that's just their little side job. And now that's going to become, that might be taken away from them, but that might be their only outlet, that they look forward to cleaning their properties, so, and like the
And
lower
actually, the impact
paid.
on, oh, sorry, Lisa, I cut across you, but I was going to say the impact on female employment is something that we've really noticed. Like short-term lettings, the work around it, as you said, the cleaners, the people in the laundrettes, the property maintenance guy, but a lot of that work is female, it's seasonal, it's flexible, right? The other part of it is if you happen to own an Airbnb, right, the income that you earn, and again, I'm saying Airbnb because they're a victim of their own success. If you own a short-term letting, right, the income that you earn, it's earned income. It's your earnings. You pay your income tax on it, you pay your PSRI and all of that, right? If you switch that property to long-term, that becomes rental income. You're taxed at 50% and you lose your stamps. So you're no longer earning an income that's your income, because it's hard work, lads. This is hospitality. This is not easy breezy. Oh, throw it up on Airbnb, we make loads of money. It doesn't work like that. It's hard work.
Yeah,
And if you've ever cleaned an Airbnb, you'd know. But it's a pride thing. And I think that's something they haven't even considered, the fact that you're actually taking away people's jobs. That's what you're doing. You're taking away their ability to earn an income for themselves.
don't take any bookings from Waterford hen party, Sarah. They're dodgy bunch,
I'm going to keep
No.
my bookings. The few that I have, I suppose. The question, one of the questions I've been asked as well, would there be a grandfather agreement on your existing bookings and maybe on existing properties that have been run as Airbnbs legitimately until maybe the rent pressure zone came in across the board there? Was it last year or the year before? So those properties, they were legit up until, say, the new RPZ kind of
Yes.
blanketed the country. So do you think that there could be a grandfather agreement, Sarah? Or again, we just don't know. We just gotta
It's
wait.
definitely something that people have been advocating for. I know some of the TDs across the country have raised that as a point as well. At this stage, we're grasping at straws. So anything that will make people consider the impacts of this legislation in its current form, we're open to it. Like, we just need people to actually stop and think about the impacts, the wider impacts.
Yeah,
And I
absolutely.
suppose, unfortunately, the way it's been tied, and in the media as well, that it'll solve the housing crisis. It's not going to solve the housing crisis. I mean, you're experts. I work in the property industry. Like, There's so many other ways you could go about like trying to solve the housing crisis. But as you said, taking out 2,000 or 3,000 potential properties across the country is not it, you know?
No. And Sarah, you're coming from a place of experience as well, because you're not just doing short term, like you have your own letting agency business. Yeah. So to you, it doesn't make a difference whether they give you a property to let or to run on short term accommodation. So you're coming from a very like kind of unbiased opinion, I think. So people should definitely listen to you. So Sarah, in terms of if anybody that has a short term let is worried, would like more information, would like to talk to like-minded people, you mentioned that you are running an event in Dublin. Can you just give a little bit more information about that and who should attend?
So anybody who's concerned about short-term rentals, and this isn't just for hosts, by the way, I mean, we're talking like that about people who are operating businesses that rely on the spend of the guests who stay in your local short-term letting. What we need is to show a presence. Again, it'll showcase the wider impact of it. We're meeting in Boswell's Hotel. It's across the road from Leinster House on the 24th of February. It's a Tuesday. You're both more than welcome to come along as well. It'd be great to see you. And basically, we've invited and will be inviting all TDs, senators, anybody who's there to come in and have a chat with us and talk to us about it and allow us to explain. We'll have a structured speech part of it, but there'll also be time for those one-on-one conversations as well. What we really need is hosts to contact their local representatives. Because Sarah in Cork emailing the TD in Donegal, I'm not voting for the TD in Donegal. He's not going to answer Sarah in Cork. What I need is Pádraig in Donegal to say, I have a short-term let in Donegal. I'm going to lose my business. You need to be there. You need to meet me. You need to talk to me. And that's what we need, is that grassroots part of it. There's a group of us that have been volunteering for years doing this. But this is the pinch point, lads. If we don't do anything now, you asked the question earlier, Lisa, can they just write the legislation and pass it through? If you're not loud enough, that'll happen. There is no waiting till next month or waiting till next year or hoping for another pause. This is it. This is the time. If you can't make it to Dublin, pick up the phone or go to your local TD's clinic and explain your situation. It doesn't have to be a big, long essay, just who you are, what you do, and the importance of your short-term rental to their community, because it's jobs in their community. And lads, that's where they listen. They listen when it's local, you know?
Absolutely, Sarah, and I suppose it's great to see that you've taken it head on, and you know, like I say, you have an interest, and that's the bottom line. But as you have obviously shown every provider, restaurants, I think about, you know, restaurants, you know, kids working in restaurants, maybe you're going to college, you're trying to save a couple of pounds as well. So look, there's a massive opportunity for people to get out and get their voice heard about this as well with yourself. And as I say, we will get it out there, and hopefully the local TDs are sitting up taking notice as well, and all the local councillors, especially in rural areas as well, because they're constantly banging the drum for rural areas as well, and it's so important to keep whatever work and you know, whatever hospitality we have. So she's doing a great job, isn't she, Lisa?
Yeah, great job, Sarah. And if anybody wants to get kind of onto, have you got some sort of email list maybe, or where can they get more information about when you're meeting?
They can just give me a ring. You'll find us, our website, Cronin Octon, we're cnproperties.ie. So you'll find me through there. Or you can Google saveourstrs.ie. It's a volunteer website that we set up as well.
Saveourstrs.ie. Brilliant, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Sarah, best of luck with everything. And February the 24th, isn't it? Isn't that correct?
That's it.
And just get to Leinster House. That's the message.
Get to Leinster House and bring a drum and bang it loud.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today. Of course, it has been Sarah Cronin from Cronin Octon Auctioneers and Letting Agents in Cork. And thanks for highlighting that serious issues that's coming down the road. There's quite a few, Lisa, I know I was dramatic in that, but sometimes you get perplexed by all the nonsense that's going on. But a serious issue in rural Ireland that needs a bit more clarity, Lisa.
Yeah, no, it is a serious issue, and it's not just rural Ireland as well. It's like in the towns as well, like it's the suburbs as well. It's going to affect us all. So we've got two big changes coming down the line. That's with the new rental bills coming out in March, and now with these new short-term rentals in May. So it's always good to kind of be aware of them. It's great actually, Sarah, because there's some like hosts out there, they're not even aware of these new changes coming down the line. So if we can just kind of get the information out there, I think that this is all we can do. But yeah, you're great to be doing what you're doing, Sarah. And there's you're not doing it for a fee, you're literally doing it for
The Solid Foundations Property
voluntary.
Podcast is brought
So
to you in
yeah, no, thanks for
association
coming
with
on
Gap
the
Property
podcast.
Investments,
Thank you
helping
very
you
much for having
getting
me.
a better return on your
Okay,
money
folks, that's
in
all from this
2026 through
month edition of
property.
the Solid
Check out
Foundations Property Podcast. We'll be
gapropertyinvestments.com
back next
and
month.
also
Of course,
Cities
we have a
Days,
number of really good
Ireland's
guests. And in
leading
the
provider
meantime,
of customized
do check out
accommodation
all the other
solutions
Solid Foundations
specifically
property
designed for
podcasts as
contractor
well.
teams
And
working
we'll
on
talk to you
projects.
very soon.
Check out
Thank you very much,
citiesdays.ie.